Welcome back to Consideration from the Capitol from the Deeper Dive podcast. My name is Bill Winnell. As always, joined by Father Larry Swink. Good morning, Father.
Hey, good morning and good Shepherd Sunday to everybody.
Indeed, it's the fourth Sunday of Easter. As Father mentioned, Good Shepherd Sunday, and he'll reflect on today's gospel from St. John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Father.
All right. Well, you know, this is such a powerful gospel and an appropriate gospel. I'm starting up a new parish here, helping out here. I want to get an annunciation. What a great sort of start to ministry here. And I want to reflect on three parts of a good shepherd. And I think too, first and foremost, you know, everyone listening, is that when I talk about this in terms of, you know, shepherd, I mean, Jesus is the good shepherd. Let's be clear on that. But he's also, I think, you know, he's trying to say, look, look at what other people do. Look what I do. But I think it's good to reflect on, are we good shepherds too? And we are so far from the good shepherd. It's not even funny, but that's okay. We've got to keep, you know, striving to be like Christ, obviously. And so let's look at Christ and look at where we're at. And the first thing is that the good shepherd shows a passionate love. Secondly, he shows a protecting love. And thirdly, he shows a personal love. So first, a passionate love. You know, do we love like the good shepherd? And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And the first thing that Jesus teaches is that a good shepherd has a passionate love for his sheep. And the word passion, you know, comes from the word to suffer and endure from the original Latin. It's where we get the word the passion of Christ. And we know that Christ died for us and he suffered for us. And he said, first, look, I, the good shepherd, I am going to suffer and die for you. That's how much I love you. And, you know, when thinking about this, there's a priest I know from Virginia, his father, Mr. Vanderwoody. You've probably heard this story. He was a real man his life was marked by, you know, basic selflessness and humility. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, he truly was a holy man. You know, he was one of these guys who always stepped in when someone needed something. He was just known around the parish, the neighborhood, you know, the community, as a guy who just, if they needed a coach, he coached. You know, if he needed someone to cook hamburgers for the parish thing, he'd do it. But he also did a holy hour between 2 and 3 in the morning, daily communion with the rosary, and say a prayer to St. Joseph on a daily basis. And his son said, "Those were the things that we saw from our father in the culture, which is selling a lot of stuff. I had a father on his knees who was showing me how to be a man of God." And, but the way he lived is the way he died, and his death is just almost storybook. I mean, it is kind of, it's a little bit, you know, tragic, but it's still beautiful. Then he was, he passed away on a Monday, and his youngest son, Joseph, who was 20, who had Down syndrome, had fallen into a septic tank outside the home while he was doing yard work. So Mr. Vanderwoody jumped in the tank to push Joseph up and keep his head above the muck. And Vanderwoody died in his attempt to save his son. Joseph was hospitalized with double pneumonia, but made a full recovery, and he was at attendance at his father's funeral. And I just thought, gosh, you know, what a dad, what a father, what a shepherd. And I think too, you know, look at good shepherds in the church's history, like St. John Vianney, who spent 12 to 17 hours a day here in confessions, stopping only to preach at 11 a.m. for mass, distanced himself hardly for the conversion of sinners, ate only one meal and often boiled potatoes. I've got a long way to go. But anyway, you know, I have to ask myself, we have to ask ourselves is, do we sacrifice ourselves for those under our care? You know, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it means we can't do what we want, but that's what Jesus does. That's what we're called to do. Secondly, the good shepherd shows a protective love. And notice what it says, the good shepherd defends the sheep from the wolves. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees the wolf coming and leaves his sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for the pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and I know, and mine know me. We'll stop there because we're kind of jumping to the next point, but let's go with this. Not being a hired man, but someone who saves the sheep from the wolves. And so we see here that a good shepherd protects his sheep. Now, St. Paul will call false teachers in the Bible fierce wolves. And he's taking this metaphor from Jesus, who described false prophets as leaders who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So anytime we see a wolf in the Bible, it is really indicative of someone teaching false doctrine or not preaching the truth and not teaching what needs to be or saying what needs to be said. And, you know, I pray that at this new parish and throughout my priesthood, that I can fulfill my duty and obligation to preach and teach the gospel of Christ and not any other ideology. And I think teaching the truth with love is very protective. And I think too, is that, you know, we have to preach as a good shepherd and parents do too, like the teachings of Christ to their children, right? This is the saving truth. And I think there are many who follow Jesus, but they don't follow the real Jesus of the scriptures. What do I mean by this? You know, God, Jesus gave us the way to follow, and his teachings are protective. They keep us safe. But too many times, you know, people have sort of made a custom-made Jesus that fits their lifestyles. You know, many will emphasize his easy teachings about feeding the poor and loving thy neighbor, which it's all that's what we're supposed to do. But then they'll omit very important teachings, which are about love too, about how to forgive our enemies and live chastely, and how one day Jesus will be our judge, and that we have to be prepared for that day, and we got to get rid of serious sin in our lives. And so, you know, our pastors, our priests, our parents, you know, teaching the real doctrine of Christ. You know, in another gospel, Jesus will say, "You are the salt of the earth." And we know this is that, you know, salt was used to preserve meat from going bad. And the gospel was really meant to preserve this sin-soaked world from getting worse. And brothers and sisters, just look out there. Is it getting worse or better? It's getting worse. Why? Because we're just not preaching truly the unadulterated gospel of Christ. And so we have to protect our flock, you know, from bad ideologies, from false teachings. You know, parents need to talk to their kids about, you know, important issues. It's not the school's job to do so. You know, it's not teacher's job to teach your kids about human sexuality and other things and what's right and wrong. That's the job of a parent. That's the job of a priest to their people, their flock. But when we do we do so clearly? And lastly, this relationship is personal. You know, and I really hope, like, sometimes when I leave parishes that I know a lot of people by their name. And I'll be honest, I probably know, I don't know, maybe 50% by the end of this day. And that really depends upon how much the people want to talk to the priest. First off, it's not always my fault, but I get it. But you know, it is sort of like embarrassing if we as a priest don't know a lot of people's names by the end of our assignment. Do we know our sheep? Do we know their struggles? Do we know what their problems are? Do parents know the problems of their kids, what they're going through, what they're struggling with? Do we know how to help those underneath our care? I mean, Jesus knows us and calls us by name. And one thing about shepherds in the time of Christ is that shepherds usually had nicknames, and the sheep and heard their name and would come to the shepherd, but they wouldn't follow a voice that they didn't recognize. And I think too many times that we can hear a voice that's not of God and can actually be from the evil one and follow that voice instead of the voice of God. I came up with a kind of catchy thing about how do we know if
biblically, it's the enemy's voice versus God's voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. And, you know, you can look this up later, but I'll give you the quick version. The enemy's voice will rush you, push you, frighten you, confuse you, discourage you, worry you, and condemn you. Rush you, James 4:7. Push you, Genesis 3:13. Frighten you, 1 Peter 5:8. Confuse you, Genesis 3:4 to 5, the temptation. Discourage you, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Worry you, 1 John 3:8, and condemn you, John 10:10. But God's voice, this unconditional love of the shepherd, will comfort you, Isaiah 51:11. Protect you, Psalm 121:7. Help you, Psalm 115:11. Convict you, John 16:13. Lead you, Isaiah 30:21. And still you. It will comfort you, but also give you peace, and it will help you. And so, you know, but also as a good shepherd, do we make the lives of our people more frantic, or do we really bring healing to the people that we confront, that we have? And do we help them? Do we bring them closer to Christ? And ultimately, do we help them become holy? Well, that's enough for now. So we'll leave it there. But, you know, let's pray for good shepherds that really teach their flock and lead their flock towards Christ with the real teachings that Christ gave us.